What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitchwells.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 23rd, and yes, we're going to talk about baseball. I'm a little congested today. It meant that I did not make the trip to Vegas, which is really unfortunate, but I'm feeling a bit sick. I think it's just allergies or something, but I felt that I didn't have the energy to enjoy a fun weekend in Vegas, especially with the season to start next week, which is insane. A week from today is opening day. I am so excited about it. And we're going to talk about all of these starting pitchers today. But by the way, we're going to run the Plus Pitch promotion for today and tomorrow. So you have your drafts this weekend. This is the thing that you should get. Get PL Pro. Use promo code PLUSPITCH, capital letters, PLUSPITCH, all one word, when signing up for PL Pro yearly to get $40 off. And you're going to get the live draft tool that I've used for every single one of my drafts. It is amazing. It is the best way to stay on top of everything and utilizes ATC projections and our proprietary PLV projections as well. It's quick. It's simple. It's not overwhelming. You also are going to get an auction draft calculator. You're going to get our full season long projections. You're going to get in-season DFS and fantasy projections. That is every day and weekly. You are going to get actually next 7 days every single day. You're going to get a spreadsheet that just tells you all of those things delivered to you. It's really great. Check out PL Pro. Get $40 off today and tomorrow. That is Thursday and Friday before your drafts. Okay. We have Adam Wainwright getting injured. He has a groin injury. And that means that Jake Woodford, otherwise known as the Amish Mustang, is going to be getting his spot in the rotation. In the meantime, it's a little disappointing. I wanted it to be Matthew Liberatore. But he'll likely get his opportunities by May 1st, is my guess. Either Wainwright is still out, which probably isn't going to be the case, or somebody else will get injured, or Woodford just isn't good enough. And Liberatore, with his increased velocities, better slider, and curveball, I think actually is going to be a very intriguing option. Clark Schmidt and Mackenzie Gore went against each other yesterday. Very interesting, because Clark Schmidt, a week ago, was throwing 40% sliders, and I was kind of in on it. It really worked out for him. I don't have any of that data this time, which is unfortunate. Not a single place reported on it. 3.2 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 1 strikeout. I'm going to assume that he did not do the Ohtani approach, that is 40% plus sliders, and just trying to squeeze in fastballs as called strikes. So I hope he goes back to it. I was really excited about it last week when he did that approach, but unfortunately it didn't stick around. It makes me a little more tepid on chasing Clark Schmidt. The cutter is not the thing for Clark Schmidt. It is the sweeper being 40% usage. Mackenzie Gore, though, went 6 innings, 0 in runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. That's very good to see. Again, do not have data on this. I tried to sift through all the reports. Mackenzie Gore didn't really seem like to me that he was doing anything extra or new. We just threw more strikes in this occasion. That's nice. I'm still very, very out on chasing Mackenzie Gore in a 12th teamer. I feel like the ceiling is not there to justify the very, very low floor that he is in. It's just too volatile and too much of a headache for managers right now, especially as he pitches for Washington, who are not at the forefront of pitching development and are not going to get you a ton of wins. Ryan Pepiot went 4.2 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. He is very likely the guy inside the rotation for the Dodgers with Tony Gonsolin on the shelf with his ankle injury. I'm okay with it. His changeup command has been better this preseason. Only 2 walks, 6 Ks. It feels all right. And it's a very sneaky stream, I think, the first week of the season as he does get rocky road. Now, I have a theory, and I have no idea how to feel about this. Something I thought about live on the Hunt on the Corner podcast. Rocky road, the effects of it are because the Rockies play in Colorado, and then they move outside of Colorado, and the ball looks different, and it messes them up. It's why they're much worse on the road than they are at home. Now, if it's the first game of the season on the road, they haven't had very long to adjust. That is, they aren't too used to cores yet, which means they might be a little bit better than we normally know for Rocky Road. Something to think about there. I'm curious how that first series is going to go. George Kirby went 5 innings pitch, 0 in runs, 0 walks, 0 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts. So 5 no-hit innings with 9 strikeouts. I was really hoping to see more from his secondaries. It looked like he just got fastballs past Los Angeles Dodgers hitters, which is not abnormal for George Kirby, but I really want to see the secondary development. I'm not quite seeing it. I mean, I'm still in on George Kirby inside my top 30. He's like 25, 26. I saw when I was looking up news on this start for George Kirby, which it got none, that ESPN has him as a sleeper. I'm like, how is he a sleeper? I don't know. He's 25, 26. He can't draft it as such. I don't know. Seth Lugo, 5 innings, 8 hits, 3 earned runs. Sorry to throw shade at ESPN. One walk, 5Ks. I really hope that wasn't Tristan Cockcroft, because Tristan Cockcroft is the man, and I absolutely adore him so much. Maybe actually based on ESPN ADP, he is. There you go. Seth Lugo, he's going to get the spot for inside the rotation for the Dodgers out of the gate, especially with Musgrove. Actually, Musgrove is going to be due back like a week into the season. If there's still a dip on Musgrove, which I think there is, I got him in the eighth round of the PL Legacy League, which was beautiful. I'm so in because he's missing like one start. And sure, he'll be limited in that one. Maybe you don't want to start him against Atlanta in that first one, so fine, two starts. Like, so few guys are going to go 34 starts this year. Joe Musgrove, get him in your drafts in the eighth round. This is beautiful. But anyway, Seth Lugo is still in the rotation as the SP5 at the very least. It might be a 5 or 6. I think he's fine. I kind of want to see how it looks in season first before jumping in. But he's fine. And you might want to stream him in the first start of the year. That's all. Graham Ashcraft was on the other side of it. And I got multiple DMs from people I highly respect in this industry. It was the most humbling thing ever that they asked my opinion of this 10K start. 10Ks, 6 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 0 walks. And they're like, yo, Nick, is this real? Is this like, should we be more in on Graham Ashcraft as you go into Vegas this weekend? And my analysis is this. I watched it. He had 3 really good sliders. 3 of them that were down and into a lefty that I really liked. He also had some terrible ones that he got away with. He also was against a horrific lineup. I mean, this was a bad Padres lineup. He didn't have Machado in there. He didn't have Soto in there. He didn't have Cronenworth in there or Kim or anyone else that you can think of inside of it. Nelson Cruz was the best one, and he didn't strike out. You know? So take it with a grain of salt. He got some whiffs on four-seamers that shouldn't happen because he gets too much cut action on that four-seamer. If Graham Ashcraft is truly going to be something legit, it's going to be that the slider and the cutter are super, super good. And it's the sinker jamming tons of guys inside of right-handers. That's it. I didn't necessarily see that, but the slider coming in, the slider was good for a couple of them. There's also the worry that he's part of the Cincinnati Reds. And that lowers the win chance in the whole situation there. So I'm still kind of out on Ashcraft, but I'm down at the end of my drafts just to wait and see and take that flyer pick. So I've not gone through most of the guys today. There's so many more to talk about. We're going to talk about all of them after this break. Tanner Howe got lit up for 4.2 innings, 8 earned runs, 10 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. 0 walks is nice. I think he's too much of a cherry bomb for us to chase right now. Joe Ryan, 5 innings, 0 earned runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. Joe Ryan is solid. He went in the, I think, 10th round of the PL Legacy League, which honestly sounds kind of right. That's what Alex Fast does to you. I think Joe Ryan's a discount in your standard Yahoo ESPN leagues, and if he's going to the 13th, 14th round, I'm swooping up him up every single place I can at that price. Mike Clevinger, 5 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. I think he's fine. I just don't want to draft Mike Clevinger, the person. That's just me. You do what you want. I don't think he's so good that I'm going to overlook that. Like Jeffrey Springs, who is absolutely dominating. 4.1 innings, 0 runs, 1 walk, 8 Ks. Not nearly on the same level as Clevinger of like people I dislike. And he is looking really good against right-handers. 10 out of 18 changeup whiffs. 17 over 60 whiffs overall. Not the best against lefties, but he's getting better with that slider and sweeper command to them, which is good. I think Jeffrey Springs is a very solid pitcher. He's going to be inside my top 40 update of the list. I like him more than Rasmussen at the moment. You also have Nathan Eovaldi going 5 innings, 0 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. Apparently, he's still at 96. They're talking about the stadium gun, which is apparently weird, slow at times for Texas. But at the very least, he's not 93, 94, and that's really all that matters. John Gray, also speaking of Texas, 4.2 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 2 Ks. I find myself not really drafting John Gray because it's just a slider, and that breaks my rule of you need to have 2 excellent pitches that I'm in on. And John Gray's fastball just isn't that good. Ross Stripling, 4.2 innings, 0 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. Guess what? It's the same rule, just the changeup. He got some changeup swings and misses, and that's nice, but that's it. So I'm a little hesitant there as well. James Caprillion, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits. If you remember me talking about James Caprillion, it's like, hey, how many walks does he have? Well, it was 4. And 4 Ks, sorry. He's going to be a cherry bomb streamer. Taiwan Walker, 4.2 innings, 6 earned runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. He was 1.5 ticks down to just 92 miles per hour. If you remember, we want him to be at 94, 95, really. Now, there is this thing I'm noticing, which is the WBC hangover. When you make your first start after returning from the WBC, generally, you're going to be a little bit lower. We saw that with Christian Javier, for example. And I think that's by design. So I'm not going to read too much into this one. Reed Detmer's pitch. You know that guy? 4.1 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. He had 2 home runs in the 5th inning. That's what I caught live. He sat 94. I was a little disappointed because I was hearing all this 95 to 97 and 94 to 97. But sitting 94 means that he was at 92 to 96, which is kind of what he was at last year. Like, he sat 93 last year. The good news, and the thing that I think doesn't really matter, I mean, look, if he sits 94 now and he pushes it up to 95 in season, then, like, everything's wonderful. Because the slider is down in glove side with consistency, and he's attacking with it. 10 whiffs on the slider yesterday, guys. That is the thing. It's what made me stoked about him last year, and then he didn't have it. Now it's clearly a thing, and it's not going away. Reed Detmers, I'm so very in for a breakout season right now, and I'm sorry that the helium has gotten as high as it has. I hope not in your Yahoo and ESPN leagues. The ADP isn't showing that, but I'm so in on Reed Detmers. Jordan Montgomery, 5 innings, 0 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, 1 strikeout, 3 out of 71 whiffs in this one. He pounded the zone a ton, but 3 out of 71 whiffs. Take that for whatever you want. I think Jordan Montgomery is slightly better than Toby. Trevor Rogers went 5 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. Here's the thing. There are 2 reasons to be out, and then there's a reason or 2 to be in. So, down 2 ticks on his heater. You know, he was 94 to 95 last year, and he was down to 92, 93, which is not cool. We don't like that. He also only threw about 2 sliders, and I really want to see the slider development. I feel like that's the last like missing piece once the velocity is there. However, his command was excellent. He did the Blake Snell blueprint to a T. 6 over 25 whiffs on his changeup. 4 seamers were up, changeups were down, and I think that's why it was 5 innings, 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. So, do we want to buy into the velocity being this down and the command getting worse, or do we want to buy in on the command and then the velocity not mattering? Generally, when that happens, the command goes away and then he gets crushed. So, Eno will tell you, location is the least sticky part here. The stuff is more sticky. And that makes me a little hesitant here. It's why Vargas rules exist. So I need to see the velocity back with this command. If that's the case, then I'm in. So one more start, and then we get to decide. Kodai Senga, 4 innings, 2 earned runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. People are saying, oh man, look, he's got this incredible velocity. He's got this nasty secondary pitch, and he has a sweeper. Like, why aren't we more in? I mean, I'm kind of in because of the schedule. Schedule's great for Kodai Senga to start the year. So I'm totally in as like my SP6 or something, but I'm not going to push him up like Reed Detmers because the fastball went just 4 whiffs. Like that, it's not a fastball whiff generator. His Ghost Fork was thrown just once, which is kind of strange. His command was all over the place in this. He got 4 whiffs on the slider, which is good. I'm really happy with that. But like, Kodai Senga is not as polished as I want him to be, is what I'm trying to get at. Still, the schedule is very good that I am hoping to draft him as my SP6 in leagues. He likely will go in like the SP4 range, though, and that's too much for me. I think there are just other guys to go and get. Also, the injury question is a thing. I generally, at that point in drafts, don't really care about the injury question because if you get quality, then that's great. Like, the question is normally quality, not longevity. Jose Barrios, 5 innings, 1 earned run, 6 hits, 4 walks, 1... 6 hits, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. He's down over a tick on the velocity. He had good changeups. The fastball command isn't good. I'm out on Barrios still. Dean Kramer, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. Something that is there, I guess. He's streamable inside of Baltimore with that wonderful park. Michael Soroka made his first start of the spring. Only 36 pitches as he's being eased back in 1.1 innings. 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk, 1 K. Hey, he was sitting 93, which is higher than what we've seen before. If he's sitting 94, 95, that's like legitimate. We know Michael Soroka as a command guy, and we don't really know where he's going to be at for a little bit here. And lastly, there's Matt Manning. 4 innings, 0 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. Fastball's back to 93 when we want to see 94, 95. I have absolutely zero interest in Matt Manning this year. All right, that is going to do it for today. Don't forget Plus Pitch. Use that to get $40 off PL Pro yearly. Use it for your drafts. Yes, I am updating the list later today, and then I'll be updating the Ultimate Draft Guide as well to make sure that you guys have this for draft weekends. Good luck. And that is it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock. MA, your BABIP's below and your strikeouts high.